While I was serving at my last parish, one of our members organized the children to put on a passion play on Good Friday. One day, as I was walking by the rehearsal, I heard one mother leaving with her children, saying that she was taking them out of the play. They were very young, and so they had only been cast as part of the crowd. As she left, she said, "Their only lines in the play are, 'Crucify him,' and they don't need to be taught to say that." I'm afraid she was more correct than I usually like to think. As uncomfortable as I am with this day when it rolls around every year, and as much as I hate joining in to say, "Crucify him," I'm afraid that it is more part of our nature than most of us like to admit. Today is a day that captures the absolute craziness of this week, the highs and lows. We enter triumphantly singing grand hymns and shouting, "Hosanna in the highest." And then a few minutes later, we listen to the account of Jesus' trial, crucifixion, and death, joining in to shout, "Crucify him." And while you will hear this story again if you come on Good Friday, today we do it from a different place. Today we are part of the crowd, both as Jesus enters Jerusalem and as he is judged and executed. Today we enter the story and we watch with them. We allow the full weight of the events to seep into our hearts, and we are left with the crowd watching as Jesus takes his final breath. And then in a part we usually forget, we join with those who have just watched for the spectacle and return home beating our breast, for we know that we have guilt too in bringing death to love, to truth, to the very life among us. We enter these events this week because they are part of our story. We are part of that crowd as we share some of the deepest, darkest truths of being human. We are part of them as we shout, "Hosanna!" It sounds so joyful, so adoring. But every year I almost forget that what that word really means is "save us." Even though we don't usually like to talk about it, we cry, "Save us," because there is so much in this world we need to be saved from. The horrors around our world that we do not know how to change, the brokenness in our families, and the lonely despair that sneaks into our hearts. We need to be saved from the hells we have lived through and the hells we are part of creating. We need to be saved from, as one of our liturgies says, the evil we have done and the evil done on our behalf. We are truly a part of them as we cry, "Save us." It's a cry from deep in our hearts. And then, too, we are part of the crowd as they say, "Let him be crucified." We want peace and justice, but we are afraid of those who push too far, too fast. The future holds enough anxiety on its own. It seems now like everything is on the edge of something huge happening, just as it was 2,000 years ago in Palestine. We know those people, those things that might just tilt the balance, and surely it's better for one to die than thousands, right? We feel bad for this man who seems to mean well, but what can we do? We have families and friends we can't bear losing, and we'd rather not rock the boat too much. And so after saying, "Save us," we suppose he can save himself, and we resignedly say, "Let him be crucified." Today we are part of that crowd. Somewhat ambivalent, actually. We watch the action happen to Jesus, and actually, this is what passion is. The word passion is from a Greek word that means to be done to. In a world so often measured by what we do, today we remember that we have life because God became like us in the incarnation, joined our humanity by being vulnerable to all those things to which we too are subject, those things in our lives that we cannot control, beauty and pain, love and grief, the joys of human connection and the pain of betrayal, cruelty, and ultimately death. We watch today as Jesus enters into the full depth of suffering of humanity, as he has the worst done to him. But we will not stay here. Today is only the beginning, and our call as followers of Christ is to follow Christ, not to watch what is done to him, but to take part in it. Our call and our promise from God is that we can take part in it. On Thursday, we will be shown the way of life that is self-giving love as Jesus washes his disciples' feet and calls us to do the same. And then we are invited into that life of self-giving love in the beginning of this meal that we continue to share here today. The beginning of taking his body into our own, letting that brokenness become part of us and making us whole. On Friday, we will hear again the story of Jesus' passion, but then we will do so from a different place. We will do so with the call to follow him on that path ringing in our ears from the previous night. On Friday, our prayers call not just for our salvation. Our prayers ask that we take on the place of Christ's body in this world, that we enter into his suffering for the world, so that we may become part of the new life that God is bringing. And then, on Saturday, we will gather here in the dark. We will light a new fire, and by the light of each of our candles lit from that fire, we will together tell the story of how God has been working in our world since the very beginning of time, the story that is still our story. And then we will tell the rest of the story, for what we remember today in Good Friday is not the end of the story. There in the dark, in the place that God has always moved, we will declare that new life comes from death. We will celebrate that the light comes into the darkness and that the darkness will never overcome it. As we go forward this week, we are invited to join with him, knowing that his cross is where life lived to the fullest led. And in the baptisms of Easter, we remember that we too have died with Christ and so can be risen with him. We remember that it is this way of life that is our salvation, and we join to be part of saving our world. In joining with Christ, we walk with him through his death, because it is the only way that we are able to join him in his abundant and eternal life. This is the week in which we remember, in which we literally embody and become part of the story again, of death giving way to new life. The story that is true for us over and over and over again. We tell it again because while the death and resurrection of Jesus happened once, the story is alive in us. And over again, as God reaches into the parts of us that we thought were dead, that we watched die, that we've given up hope on, God brings new life where we were sure it was impossible. Just as our suffering has not ended, so God's salvation has not ended either, and that is what we celebrate this week. It's our story over and over again, the story God is longing to tell in each of our hearts, in our church, in our community, in our world. New life is coming, and it only comes through the path that we must walk this week. This week, we walk into the depths of the realities of our world. We do so only because we know we do not do it alone. We are able to do so because the path has already been walked, and we walk it with the one who has walked it to the full, in the hopes that as we prayed at the beginning, we, walking in the way of the cross, may find it none other than the way of life and peace. We do so because we believe the mystery that this self-giving life that does not shrink from suffering has somehow become life and peace, life as we are created to live. So this week, let us not shrink from all that entangles our souls and our world. Let us step out of the crowds today. Let us follow the one whose body was broken and blood was poured. May we find in following him the life that we were created for. In him may we know our cry of save us to be answered. And may we join with him in hearing the cry of all who call, that the new life we celebrate this week may be known in all the world. Amen.